Hello, this is Victoria Pearson and this is Radio Gorgeous, and today my guest is Julie Lynn from the ultra cool USA band Slowness. Julie, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, is it Jules or Julie?
I go by both, but most of the time I go by Jules.
Now, Louder Than War have described your music as a slow-release drug. Do you like your music to create a dreamlike feeling for the listener?
Yes, I do, actually. I think definitely one of the ways that I always describe the music, and I think Jeffrey does too, is it being a bit droney. And I know, since I play bass on a lot of the music, a lot of times the bass is sort of bringing the drone in terms of a hypnotic part that's playing over and over and over, and sort of like giving some structure for the guitars to float around in. And I even enjoy the hypnotic aspect of playing that. So I guess I would like the listener to sort of be able to float away with that as well.
Okay. So the intention is of a type of hypnotic music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So hypnosis without the words, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it is nice to be able to think that we're delivering people into a bit of a dreamlike state. Yeah.
Right. So the intention is to put the listener into a sort of trance.
That's a good way to think of it too. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that we have like intention that like this is where we want to put the listeners into this trance, but we ourselves enjoy that music and enjoy making it, so, and it does have a trance like feel to it a lot of times. That's true. Yeah,
so it might be a good idea to listen to positive affirmations after you've listened to your tracks, and then sort of it will embed them further,
perhaps. It would,
Be. I'm quite into that sort of thing, hypnosis, and I'm interested in it. You know, I think it really can help people tremendously.
Yeah. Well, when you've listened to it, does it give you a little bit of a hypnotic effect?
I didn't really think about it like that. Rose is my favourite song. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
I really love it. But I didn't make me feel. It made me feel good, I suppose. Maybe that's what it was then. It made me feel good. You know, it made me feel good. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I always like that.
Where do you find the inspiration for your music, and what is your writing process?
Well, I think the inspiration comes in terms of lyrically a lot of times from sort of experiences that we feel are both very human experiences at the social level, having to do with, you know, society and politics, but also at the personal and individual level. And so a lot of the lyrics sort of float around sort of back and forth between those two levels, or can be thought of in terms of both of those. But the writing process really varies with a lot of songs. Many times Jeffrey comes up with some sort of a guitar riff, and then either by, you know, sending it to me or us hanging out and him playing it, then I start working on bass parts for that. Yeah. And then we sort of build from there after we sort of have a core of guitar and bass, and we start to build in other parts and bring in a drummer. But sometimes it might take the reverse, where I have some bass riff and then Jeff comes up for a guitar part for it. Usually lyrics come far later. The music really comes first. Yeah. And sometimes we develop it spontaneously together even.
Yeah, it's all about going with the flow and the feeling of the idea first. Of all.
Yeah, and, you know, we might go through, so if Jeff gives me a guitar part to sort of work on and find something for, we might try a lot of different things before we come to something that we feel like, no, this is it, you know. So we can take, be laborious about it sometimes, and, you know, keep hacking away at it until we find something we feel is really right.
Now, I particularly love the song Rose. What inspired it?
Well, Rose took a lot of twists and turns, actually. I think that the original song, it started out as a very, very different song, completely different bass part, completely different lyrics but the same guitar riff, and then we ended up ditching that whole song, even though we played it live once or twice, and rebuilding around it. So it went from kind of funky song into sort of the dreamy song that Rose is now, and that we're very happy with. As far as lyrically, I would say that what inspires it, just thinking about, and Jeffrey wrote the lyrics, so I'm speaking secondhand here, but I feel like what inspired the lyrics in it is sort of thinking about inner conflicts that people have, whether it's within themselves, between themselves and society, between themselves and neighbors, and how people sort of deal with the conflicts and thorns around them and inside of them. One of the things I really enjoy about the song lyrically as a sort of listener, since I didn't write the lyrics, is that it is somehow sorrowful and about conflict, and yet the song itself is dreamy and beautiful, so you can enjoy and sort of get carried away with the beauty aspect, even though it's talking about something a little bit painful.
But it's got a beautiful melody to it as well.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. What is your favorite track on the LP and why?
Ooh, that's a hard question. But man, to think about, I haven't actually had anybody ask me which is my favorite track. So let me think about that. I would say probably my favorite track is Berlin.
And what is that, that particular song inspired?
Well, Berlin is one of the three tracks on side A of the album that got written in musically, like, super, super spontaneously. Jeff and I and our drummer at the time, Scott Putman, had just gotten back from touring Europe and touring the album How to Keep from Falling Off the Mountain. And we were in Brooklyn staying with a friend, and just really within a week of coming back from Europe and both of us being in a little bit of a state of culture clash and feeling very strange coming back to the U.S. 4 or 5 years ago when the U.S. felt like it was sort of spiraling towards totalitarianism and descending into a lot of, you know, economic struggle for people. We were feeling a lot of culture clash coming from Europe. And one day we went into the living room and Jeff picked up a guitar and started playing, and I picked up the bass. And within half an hour, we had spontaneously come up with the foundation of all three songs that are on the first side of the Births album. Mm-hmm. And one of those is Berlin. I like it a lot musically because there's this sort of discordance between the guitar and the bass. It's very kind of angular and a little bit discordant, and that fits in well with the vibe of the lyrics, which are sort of, the lyrics are looking at the sort of challenging moment in U.S. history, where there's conflict and fear and a sense of dismay at our conditions here, and sort of in a little way reflecting on some of the similarities with Europe, you know, almost 100 years ago.
And why is the band called Slowness?
The band is called Slowness because we went through a whole bunch of crazy names trying to come up with a name, and, you know, the thing that bands do, trying to figure out, you know, what type of tag to hang on yourself. And then one day, Jeff was at the bookstore and saw this new Milan Kundera book, Slowness.
Oh.
And we both liked Kundera. Yeah, you know the book?
Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and we both liked Kundera a lot. Immortality was one of my favorite books at the time, and we both liked The Book of Laughter and Forgetting. And so Jeff saw that and was like, oh, that's actually a good name, Slowness. And it sort of tied in also with just the feeling of, like, even though a lot of our music, especially on our earlier albums, this new album's quite actually slow, but all of our earlier albums are mostly mid-tempo or some up-tempo. But we like the idea of sort of trying to approach life, living a little bit more slowly. Exactly. So we took the name.
Yeah. And why is the LP called Births?
Well, it's Births with a E, like a B-E-R-T-H-S, where the ships go and dock into. Mm-hmm. And we are in the Bay Area. We see a lot of Births over in the mm-hmm. Oakland. There's, you know, so that's in our visual landscape frequently. Mm-hmm. But I think the name is also maybe just a little bit related of, you know, in the midst of the craziness of the ocean and the tossing and turning, this place that you can go into to get some respite, the place where sailors sleep at night or the ship, you know, docks into, that you can get some stillness. We started working with Christy, our friend Christy Davis, as a drummer. She'd played on the final track of our last album, and then she's on this entire album. Love playing with her. She has a great loose style that really allows us to do the sort of slightly more slow core music that we did on this album. And so sort of a new experiment working with her, and also Jeff and I were going through a lot of transitions in our relationship to the band and ourselves. And so, yeah, maybe it is a type of birth in a certain way.
And Christy was just working with one of the Beastie Boys. Is that right?
She did. I think she tracked with one of the Beastie Boys on something.
And did she bring a Beastie Boys style element into the
well, she is such a talented, diverse drummer, you know, so I wouldn't say that she brought a Beastie Boys style into that. What she really brought in was the ability to, I mean, her drumming can be incredibly spacious and dynamic. So I feel like what she brought, I mean, each of the drummers we've worked with have been fantastic. Eric Gross, who plays on our first EP, just has like a super driving, you know, he's able to like chug along and drive in a way that moves forward constantly. And Scott Putman, who played on our next two albums, he had a bit of a jazz background, and there can be a lot of syncopation. But Christy brings this really spacious and dynamic element to the songs that I love. So I think if I was going to describe one thing that she was bringing, it would be the dynamics.
Yeah, and she sounds like she's very versatile as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, totally.
Which is great.
Now, and a ton of fun.
That's good fun, yeah, yeah. She certainly gets a lot of versatility, doesn't she?
Well, me, Jeff, and Christy we're super good friends, the three of us. So it's, you know, we're getting to, she's one of both of our best friends. So it's like we're getting to play with our best friend.
That's nice. That's lovely, isn't it? And I think you can hear that in the music as well, if people are connecting in that way, can't you?
Yeah.
How do you combine heavy psychedelia and drone together to create your sound?
Wow. I guess, you know, just because... I mean, not really, we don't do it with any planning, but I think by having the drone element, you know, which, as I was saying before, there's a certain amount of repetition going on. I know I play a bass and most of the keys, and a lot of times with either of those instruments, I do something patterned that does repeat throughout. And sometimes I do, you know, some major changes, but there's a lot of repetition, and I think that repetition on the bass, it allows for, and not changing the dynamics of it too much, allows for guitars to become psychedelic without things getting completely swept away. So the drone kind of holds it down, and then the guitars have the room to get very psychedelic. That's sort of how I look at it. I don't know if Jeffrey would say the same thing, but that's how I see it.
Do you create something first, or do you like put the bass in first and then sort of layer on the ideas?
It really depends, you know, song by song and album by album is done differently. This album, Verse album, we did most of it in a very type of live way. We wanted to get away from spending so much time editing and so much time layering in the studio. So most of the tracks are me, Christy, and Jeff played them in the studio together. Some of the tracks on there, a lot of them, we only did one or two takes and to get the foundations of the drum and the bass and the rhythm guitars and even some of the solo guitars on there. So this new album, Births, does not have that many layers. And a lot of it is done sort of together, and I think I really enjoyed that process. It was a lot of fun for sure to sort of build it on the spot, and it's exciting. And I think it does bring a different type of energy when you track more of it together live. I'd say, you know, but our first few albums we were putting out every maybe year and a half or so an album. I do think we work more slowly than some people, and I do think that, well, I mean, I guess what it does for us is it gives us time to have things go down on the editing floor, you know, to choose not to include them or to do versions and find, well, does that really work? Does that really stick? And then come back to it later. So it allows us, by working at least slowly on this album, I know that there's... In some of our past albums, there might be a track or two that I like, but I'm not crazy about. And so maybe on some of our past albums, it's a little bit, would have been easier for me to answer that question of like, which track do I like most? But our new album, which we approached so slowly, taking, you know, 4 or 5 years to write it, I actually have a very similar feeling about each song. I feel 100% behind them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that does have something to do with having taken so much time, because we had time to sit with things and know for sure that we love them.
Are you influenced by surreal artists? And if so, which ones?
Yes. I mean, I would say both. Well, both Jeff and I are definitely cinephiles. We both love film. And I'm an art teacher, and Jeff is a film teacher. So we both do, you know, we both love bringing those elements to the videos that we do, whether other people make them or we make them. We like a lot of abstraction in them. We like a lot of slow imagery that you can sort of sink into. Mm-hmm. And as far as surrealist artists, I mean, I love Magritte, that's for sure. I mean, there's so many artists that I think both of us appreciate. That'd be hard to point to one. Definitely one of my favorite filmmakers, and I can think about it in relation to these films, would be Wim Wenders. Yeah. And so, for instance, like Wings of Desire, the first 15 minutes of Wings of Desire is probably 15 or 20 minutes of my favorite film ever. Yeah. And that certainly has similar qualities of it just sort of moving in and out of people's heads and just sort of like moving through a visual landscape. And I know that you'll see some of that in the slowness videos.
That's a gorgeous film, isn't it?
It's got just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely concept as well. It changes from black and white to colour. Oh, that's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in the video for Sand and Stone, which our friend Oliver made, I know that's like a little, some people have referred to that as a little bit Lynchian. Definitely, you know, David Lynch, he's love his work as well. Yeah. And it does have a little bit of that otherworldly quality, the film he made. It was a lot of fun to make.
I agree with your choices, definitely. Now, how does the new LP compare to some of the other older material from your other albums?
Well, this LP is a very different LP than the others. In a lot of respects. I mean, both in terms of how we made it, like I said, that we tracked a lot more of it sort of live. On our first EP, which is probably my second favorite thing that we've done, our very first EP, Hopeless But Otherwise, there's a song on there, Slow Boat, which a fair amount of it is also live tracking, you know, without a click. So this album births a lot of it. It's very live feel, but also it has a very different pace than the rest of the albums. Most of our music is mid-tempo, you know, some with the occasional up-tempo song and the occasional down-tempo song, but the Berths album throughout is quite slow, and that was a new thing for us to make an album. That was intentional, that we wanted to make an album that from top to bottom felt like one cohesive thing, and was slow throughout. Our friend Dave Voigt stepped in and started recording, and a lot of the stuff on the album for that song is actually just those original recordings we did together.
Now, is Breathe about controlling emotions or anxiety?
Ooh, that's an interesting perspective on it. In some ways it is, I'd say, yeah. And then again, I'm not the lyricist. Jeffrey is the lyricist, but I spend obviously a tremendous amount of time with those lyrics, because, you know, I sing them as well and reflect on them probably more than anybody except the person who wrote them. Mm-hmm. And to me, yes, it is somewhat about that, about how to just breathe through your anxieties and breathe through the strife.
And finally, what do you have lined up for Slowness for the rest of the year?
Well, when we were touring this album at the beginning of June, when we were in LA, we did a recording session with the Part-Time Punks radio show. Oh. And I have just been listening to the mixes of that, and it's a lot of fun. Our friend Sean Eden joined on second guitar with that, and we did a few of the new songs, and then we did a couple songs off of older albums. So we're going to put out that recording later on this year, and then we're just starting to work on some new material that will probably release as singles over the next year. And that's sort of what we see in the future right now. We just did a set of shows, and we're going to do a couple in September, but I don't see any tours coming up or, you know, anytime this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julie, thank you for talking to me. It's been lovely to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you having me on your show and sharing my music
thank you.
Our music.
It's amazing. And for more gorgeous interviews, visit radiogorgeous.com.